Pledge of Allegiance and the Prayer is going to be all about how the press and the far left have gotten in bed together. And who's an expert on that? Oh, well, that would be one Larry O'Connor. Larry O'Connor moderating the CPAC panel this morning, the very first one.
Because when you think Larry O'Connor, you think moderate.
Yes.
Moderate. I was thinking more about people getting in bed together, but okay.
Thanks for that.
Yes. Well, we all didn't get caught up there, Mary. Okay. Meanwhile.
It is CPAC.
Yes, it is CPAC. That's right. Strange things happen. So tell us, what's going to happen in the panel? What's the
kind of substance? Well, I got to tell you, there? I mean, first of all, it is great. I love that we're launching with this, I think, because honestly, other than the Trump presidency this first year and the things that the administration has done, the other overriding most important topic, I think, for discussion in America has to do with the role of the media and what they've done and what we've seen, how we've seen them exposed. We have a 3.5-minute video montage that is epic. You guys are going to have to, like, run in during a break and see it or something because it is phenomenal. And it's going to set the tone. It's going to show Brian Ross. It's going to show CNN retracting their stories. It's going to show Joy Behar getting excited about a fake story on The View. And we're going to take it from there. And, you know, one of the guests on my panel is Chris Lash.
Yes.
He is the husband and business partner and supporter of Dana Lash, who last night basically attended a show trial presided over by Jake Tapper as judge. It was like a Trotskyite kind of event.
This was the CNN town hall in Tallahassee last night
that we now
featuring
have
gun survivors from or survivors of the shooting of Parkland.
Right. And in an arena, like it's a coliseum,
yes.
You know, like Russell Crowe is slaughtering a lion in the middle of the pen. You said something like that earlier this morning, and I stole it from you.
Yes, you did, but thank you.
I was listening. and so I think we're going to be able to get from Chris a firsthand account. He was there on the front row about, you know, now we've learned that one student who wanted to ask a question about armed security was asked not to do that and was handed a scripted question. This is fake news, and it's being presented to the American people in a very dangerous way.
You know what else is also, I think, dangerous is because you've survived, you've been the victim of a crime, you are now somehow an expert on crime. And I don't necessarily think that that's true. You can tell us what happened there, but that doesn't mean that you have the tools now to be able to say what we need to fix in order to prevent a crime from happening again. It's just, you know, it's like I saw someone compare it today, that it's like if, you know, if someone has Alzheimer's, it doesn't make you an expert on how to cure it.
I can say this. When you're suffering grief of losing someone like that and going through the traumatic experience that these kids, I can't even imagine, went through a week ago, it's certainly not the best time to start contemplating legislation that might erode our rights.
Well, also, the pressure to perform on national television, like what's that about? Why add to sort of to that, you know, look, I think everyone in America, regardless of whether or not you've been through this, is a stakeholder in this conversation.
Agreed.
People
Absolutely.
Can have this, and the fact that they were a part of something like this means that they have a vantage point that they certainly did not deserve and shouldn't have ever had, but they do have a vantage point.
Yeah.
So bring that to the table. The problem is, if we're productive, we're trying to be productive about actually solving this problem, does making a spectacle on national television actually get us closer to it or further apart?
Of course. And what I'm trying to approach with this panel today on fake news is that the fact of the matter is I love journalism. I love news. I'm a news junkie. I have been my entire life. I don't think that we can do what we do without having that in our DNA.
Right.
Having a vibrant press is essential for our country. Everyone isn't as read in on this stuff as we need news journalists to be able to inform the public. That's not what they're doing anymore. They're activists.
So as the moderator, you're not going to be asked about this as much today. So I'm going to ask you now, as you've been observing the press for a while, has the synergy between the left and the media ever been so pronounced in your eye?
I think it has been. The only difference is they've taken any sort of pretense of objectivity off the table. We saw that with the New York Times right after the election, where they said, "Oh, well, you know, we no longer can afford to have any kind of objectivity." I think they've always been there, as our late friend Andrew Breitbart used to call it, the Democrat media complex.
Right.
They've been linked together, the revolving door of George Stephanopoulos in and out of the White House.
All right, so we've taken the veil down. There's no pretense anymore of objectivity. We see it out there, but it's not changing anything. It's only making them bolder. You would think that once they've been shown to be who they are, they would dial it back, but they're not. They're being even bolder. So what does that say about what's going on in this country? Are we just accepting the fact that we have now state-run propagandists that are quote-unquote media?
Well, I think that they have begun, whether it's certainly not state-run, thankfully, because, you know, our government right now seems to be in opposition to
the media. Well, maybe deep state-run.
I was going to say, they're getting questions, they're getting leaks from somebody in the government.
That's true. But listen, it's definitely propaganda. I think that they've been exposed and they've exposed themselves for that matter, I think what happens in terms of how bold they are is that we need to be that much bolder. I hate to say that that this entire debate in our country is going to get heightened and even more intense, but guess what? It is. Ultimately, the solution to all of this is more information for the American people. We're good. We're smart. We know what we're doing. We're not stupid. We're not little lambs to be led to the slaughter. More transparency, more information. Let us make our own decisions. But I don't need Facebook and Twitter and cable news.
That's the other part of this, the social media component. Forget the mainstream media for a moment. I don't know if this will come up in conversation today. Will it? Will you talk social media at all?
Absolutely.
Okay. And about sort of like... There's an instinct right now. You're saying answer with more speech.
That's right.
Social media environments are saying, you know what? Let's have a little bit less speech on some of these
topics. That's exactly where I was going with this. And sadly, we're seeing it. And listen, that's always the instinct on the left.
Yes.
Whenever the left starts to lose a conversation, they try to shut people up. And now they have to do that through social media. And these are very powerful people. We need to make sure we push back.
Well, Larry O'Connor, you'll be able to hear him at 8:50 this morning as he kicks off CPAC. Larry, thank you for joining us to give us a preview.
I appreciate it.
Can you save us good seats, by the way?
No.
No.
Oh, thank you.
It's 7:44 at WMAL.